Hello, and welcome to Amateur Radio Topics. I'm Kevin, VK6 Lima Whiskey, and this is my first podcast for 2021. I noticed that the last one was in December 2020, which is a fair time between podcasts. But there's quite a lot to report on, so we'll work through some of this evening. Currently just in the process of building another shack and another workshop. And so temporarily, I've got my radio gear and my shack in the laundry. Luckily, the laundry is fairly large. I've got limited antennas at the moment, but been doing some work on some other projects and also using some of the receive antennas, using some of those antennas on transmit, which has been quite interesting, modelling and designing different antennas, different wire antennas that I could use for transmit whilst the main towers are down. I've actually managed to get one of the towers back up again, but I had to take them down initially to sort out the area for the new workshop. So, and I will end up with a slightly better arrangement with the towers than what I had before. One of my very old towers I'm replacing. I've got a new second-hand tower, so to speak, and that would go on the existing base post. So it will give me a little bit more height on that tower, and it's a better tower. It's in better condition, so that's all good. I bought that locally from somebody up at Gidgee Gannup, and I've had it for more than 12 months now, and not really got around to doing anything with it. And this project with the workshop and the new shack has sort of galvanised me onwards towards, well, let's get the old tower down and get the base post prepared for the new one. May need a new winch, I think, and some new cabling, that sort of thing. There's a little bit of welding work to do on the new tower as well. So it's a design that's been around for quite a long time here. It's a Hills tower. But what I've done previously with those sorts of towers is I've upgraded the sheaves and the pulleys and the cabling and the winch, turned it into a much more heavy-duty style of winch up type antenna, in terms of the wind up side of things. Obviously the tower is now more heavy duty, but the mechanism to raise and lower the tower is certainly going to be greatly improved on what it is at the moment. So that's a fairly involved project, and it will progress. I can't put any time frame on it at this stage. I'd like to, but there's just probably too many other things that I'm involved in. So in the meantime, I've relocated the shack to the laundry, which sounds a bit drastic, but really the laundry is quite large, and the shack that I've got set up in there is quite functional, actually. And it's not really too much of a problem to get on the air and experiment with some different antennas. And I was making quite a lot of use of receive antennas for single operator to radio operation. So I did quite a bit of work on those prior to the Commonwealth contest, Buru contest in March. I was quite keen to improve the receive antennas and set up some filtering for those, so it reduced the interstation interference when I was running two radios. And this really worked quite well. I managed to relocate all the receive antennas down to a different part of the land here. I've got 2.5 acres, so it's a reasonable size. So I managed to get the receive antennas at least 100 metres away from the transmit antennas. And with some filtering, with bandpass filtering on the receive antennas, found I could operate pretty well interference-free across most of the bands, even bands that are harmonically related. It really wasn't too difficult. So I didn't need any coax stubs or anything like that. I just really needed some good bandpass filters for receive. And I set up an arrangement with antenna splitters as well, so that I could listen on both receive antennas at the same time if I wished, no matter what frequency I was on, by splitting the signal. There is a slight downside to that. When you split the signal, you effectively lose 3 dBs, but The antennas work quite well. They're quite high up in the trees, and kind of fun just designing and building those, modeling them with Easy NEC, and trying to just get the best performance out of them. Quite a simple feed system, just fed with very cheap RG6 type quad shield coax, and all really work quite well. Not as good on receive, for example, as maybe the spider beam or the two element 40 meter beams that I had, but nevertheless quite good and quite low noise. So as I've found, it's not really all about necessarily the high signal strength, but it's very much about the signal to noise ratio. So at one point there, I think I had had a three element bi-directional 20 meter beam, which I modelled, and that really worked quite well. And I had that on Europe, so that was good for Europe short and long path. I also had an extended double Z for 20 meters, and that was quite good. And that filled in the gaps. That was really quite good for the US, short and long path. And for 15 meters, I had a two-element bidirectional wire beam, and also a 15-meter extended double Zep as well. So that was quite good. And I had an extended double Zep for 10 meters as well. And these were all suspended from the trees. Probably the average height was around about 40 foot. Some of the antennas were figured as slopers. The three-element bidirectional beam for 20 meters was pretty well an inverted V-type configuration on a catenary line, and so was the 15 meter bidirectional two element beam. And these were enough to give me enough signal strength and gain to use these pretty well exclusively for receive in the Commonwealth contest, Beru, and worked quite well. So it meant that I was able to operate single operator two radio quite effectively with minimal interference, or virtually no interference between the two radios. And I had previously had some of these antennas up for CQ Worldwide back in November 2020, but they weren't quite as effective as these particular antennas. I found having the three-element wire beam on 20 was really quite good. And whilst, as I say, it wasn't quite as good as the spider beam, which was on a high part of the block of land and up at about 80 feet, that was a better antenna. But spider beam was quite noisy, whereas the three-element receive antenna further down the block, a little bit lower down, fixed on Europe, is quite a good signal-to-noise ratio on that antenna. So it was all quite interesting. And when I after Beru, after the Commonwealth contest, that's when I took the towers down. And so that motivated me a little bit more to experiment with these receive antennas, and started using them on transmit as well. I thought, well, this is going to be interesting. Let's see what we can work on these antennas from a transmitting point of view. And they're pretty good. They work really well. I mean, I managed to work into Europe quite consistently with 5 watts on occasions on both the three-element bidirectional beam and also the 20 meter extended double Z. And the 20 meter extended double Z is a slight antenna in a way, because I mean, it's obviously just a single wire, and the modeling sort of indicates that it's quite a narrow bandwidth. But this extended double Z that I've got does slope out of a tree, so it's not really the real archetypal antenna that you would model and, you know, look at the perfect waveform. It's probably a little bit compromised in a way, but nevertheless, I was able to work quite a bit of DX with that, and also on 15 meters with the two element bidirectional beam, that was very good as well. So I continued experimenting with these antennas and modeling them, which was quite good fun, trying to get the best performance out of them. And of course, the more I was able to improve those antennas, the better it was really for me, or the better it is for me moving forward with the SO2R. So I am cautiously optimistic that by the time we get to November 2021, I may in fact have my SO2R station set back up again for CQ Worldwide CW. But let's just see how we get on with the building works. And then at the end of May, we had WPX CW contest. So I was quite keen to do something in that, but I couldn't really do anything all bands. It was just impossible. And so I started looking into another antenna that I've been quite interested in for a while, that I've seen some information on, and it was designed by LZ1AQ. Now, so I can't take any credit for this one way or the other. It's quite an established design by him. But his antenna's for 20 metres, and I wanted to make one for 40. So, well, this shouldn't be too hard. We can go to school on the angles and the dimensions and the height above ground of the antenna. And so I built one for 40, and the antenna that, or the antenna article that I've seen from LZ1AQ, doesn't use a coax feed. It uses an open wire line with a matching ballon at the top. And technically speaking, you can probably get a bit more bandwidth by using that arrangement. But I was actually quite keen to have a coax feed. So this is a single mast antenna that you can switch with relays and get gain in four directions and consequently front to back as well. It's a little bit of a compromise because it's only on a single mast, and the element spacing is very close. So it's just, if you can imagine, it's probably a collection of X beams, and you switch between each element and you use a corresponding opposite element as the director, because the close space is extremely close spacing. And it's the element that's not being driven, that is the director, has got some capacitive, it's got a capacitor at the feed point. I think from memory, it's about 470 picofarads at the feed point. And that's just enough to make that element capacitive. And of course, then you get the director action in relation to the driven element. So it works pretty well. It's important to get it the right height above ground. So I was pretty fortunate to get one of the towers back up again at 80 feet to the apex and string out the various wires, install the switch box, just an air cord ballon at the feed point. That's really all I used. And then RG 213 back to the shack, and a little switch box with four relays in there to switch the various elements in and out. And it, for three of the wires, I could get them. I could get all the angles and the height above ground just about perfect. One of the wire facing predominantly south, there's a little bit more of a problem. I had to get a little bit inventive with a mast that was attached to a tree to try and get some height on that wire, because that wire is a little bit close to the boundary, so I couldn't quite get the angle right on that. Anyway, nevertheless, it works pretty well. I worked quite a bit of DX on 40 meters with that antenna prior to the WPX contest, and then it worked well in the WPX contest. WPX contest from here is a fun contest, but the conditions at that time of the year, end of May, on 40 metres, it's not really the greatest time to be operating on 40 from VK6. But nevertheless, it was an enjoyable contest, did fairly well. And the antenna in particular, I was pretty happy with that. And I think it was maybe no better, no worse than the two-element 40-metre beams that I had previously. So prior to this, when I had both towers installed, I had a two-element 40-metre beam for Europe, short and long path, and a two-element 40-metre beam for the USA, short and long path. And they worked quite well. They was electronically switched with 3/8 length, or multiples of 3/8 length and half wavelength coax, and then just relay switched at ground level. And they worked really well, good front to back, front to side, whatever. They were a good combination, and the apexes of those antennas were about 75 feet. So this antenna, it's hard for me to compare directly because I didn't have both antennas up at the same time. But what I did have at the same time was my 15-meter extended double ZEP as a receive antenna on another part of the block. And the extended double ZEP on 15 meters is about 60 foot long, so about 20 meters long. So this actually was pretty close to a half wave dipole on 40. And so it was a useful comparison to compare what I could, how I could hear with the single mast beam with the four directions and the extended double Z, which is quite a good antenna on 40 meters, both on receive and transmit. So yes, it showed some gain, the single mast beam, and it showed some front to back, probably no more than about 10 dBs front to back, I'd say. On occasions, it appeared to be more. It does depend a little bit on the arrival angle on 40 meters. 40 meters can be a bit confusing in terms of, certainly from VK6, a lot of stuff comes in quite often from a more northerly direction than you would expect. But in general, there was definitely front to back, and there was very good front to side. And the front to side was probably more like 25 dBs on occasions. So I think it's worthwhile continuing to explore that antenna. And what I'm planning to do when I get the new tower up is to have two of these X-type beams, one for 80 meters and one for 40. So the 80 meter one, I probably can get up at around about 90 feet to the apex, which is not really high enough, but the modeling indicates that I'm still going to get some forward gain in four directions. Maybe the angle is not going to be quite as low as I would like, but I think it should be quite good on 80. And then the 40 meter one will be underneath that at about 75 feet to the apex. And if you mount them concentrically one above another, the modeling shows that really there's virtually no interaction between the two antennas, which is really nice. I did some modeling with the 80 meter one on one tower and the 40 meter one on another tower about 20 meters away, and the interaction was just terrible. It was just horrible. But mounting them on the same tower, one above the other, the interaction appeared to be quite negligible. So if I can get that set up on the new tower, I'll have something in four directions for 80 and something in four directions for 40, and then above that put the antenna for 160 meters. So for the 160 meter antenna, I'll probably revert back to the inverted L type configuration that I had. This was an off-center fed dipole for 160 with the feed point fairly low to the ground, with a big 4-to-1 ballon and a big coaxial choke at the feed point. This seemed to work fairly well. I had great deal of success with that on 160 meters, and I probably would use that again. That way I can configure that all onto the same tower as the 80 meter and 40 meter X beams, and then I've got one tower set up for the LF bands, and on the other tower probably rebuild the spider beam and have that as a dedicated tower for that antenna, and that should work quite well. The two towers are only about 20 meters apart, and there obviously is some interaction between the antennas, but I think if I can keep the HF tower separate from the LF antennas, that will help, and it should be good. Whether or not that's all going to get done before CQ Worldwide in November, that's another story. Might just depend on how well the building works progress. Had a few problems with the IC7610 with the screen and the fade-out problem, and that's under warranty. It's under 5-year warranty. So I've got two IC7610s. One is about 3 years old and the other one's about 12 months old. So it was the older one I had the problem with. The screen was fading out and it was quite usable, but it was just obviously wasn't quite right. So that was repaired under warranty, but it returned from Melbourne and the radio was completely locked. The screen looked great, but you couldn't use the radio. So I contacted them and sent it back, and apparently there was some sort of intermittent fault with the replacement screen, so that I've now had another replacement screen, which is fine, and the radio's fully operational and the screen looks great. So it remains to be seen if my second IC7610 also develops the same problem. I'm running the brightness and the contrast down at a lower level on these radios, so I was actually a little bit surprised when the first one gave me a problem. But I'd like to think that in the intervening period between buying the two radios that they've sorted out the screen issue. Other than that, they're great radios, and they work really well in an SO2R combination. The band The band scope on there is very useful. I did have one of the radios rigged up to a bigger screen, you know, 24-inch LCD monitor for the Spectrum display. And that's pretty good. That worked well. But I actually found when I was using both radios in a contest environment, I tended to look more at the smaller screen on the radios than I did on the bigger screen up above. So there's a question of just how many screens you can focus on. I've got the screen for N1MM Plus for the logging. And obviously most of my attention is on that screen. And then the radio sits slightly below that. And with the two Spectrum displays, they're actually big enough to figure out, you know, what I need to work on during the course of the contest. So you know, they're invaluable with finding clear frequencies, for example. They're pretty invaluable in figuring out whether or not the band's actually open. So there's a lot of pluses there, but I found I didn't actually use the big screen that much. I tended to use the big screen more if I was just casually operating, doing some DXing on the low bands or whatever. Then I tend to use the bigger screen. But so with the move into the laundry with the shack, basically the bigger screen is gone. I've got a large screen above the radios for the login M1MM Plus, and I've got a laptop off to one side, which I can use as a secondary screen for the login program. And at the moment, I don't have the bigger screen set up on one of the 7610s for the Spectrum. But we'll see what happens when I reconfigure the new shack. I may change that around a bit. But the IC7610s, it's nice having two radios exactly the same. And that worked well for me in the contest. And I just really need to try and improve upon that a bit, really. The SO2R operation is something that you can always improve. So sometimes it's not an easy thing to get through the whole contest in that mode of operation, because I find it tends to result in more fatigue. You're operating and concentrating on two radios at the same time. And sometimes when that happens, it's easier to just concentrate on a single radio for a while. There are periods during the contest where only really the single radio is relevant. But of course, the second radio, you don't have to be necessarily operating in interleave QSO mode. You can be using the second radio for looking for multipliers or whatever, and looking for band openings. So certainly in VK6 at this stage of the sunspot cycle, it's not always possible to have two bands fully open to do a good SO2R with interleaved QSOs. Once the sunspots improve and we get consistent openings on 15 and 10 and 20 meters is good as well, then it changes the dynamic of the contest completely, particularly from VK6. Obviously, if you're in Europe or the US, it's a little bit different because you're nearer to the main population areas in terms of density of amateur radio operators within your continent or within a continent that's nearby. VK6 is not really nearby to anything. So it changes the way you have to operate the contest sometimes. And although I've got a very good location into Europe, it's working into Europe is not necessarily always the easiest thing to do, because a lot of noise on the band, particularly on the low bands in Europe. So CQ Worldwide, it's good because there's lots of multipliers in Europe that I need to access, but sometimes trying to run, say, dual pileups into Europe can be tricky, whereas it's actually a little bit easier to run, say, dual pileups with the JAs or dual pileups with the US stations. But the paths are a little bit different, and I certainly get a pretty good shot at Europe, Eastern Europe, Western Europe, from where I am with this location. So we just have to try and make the most of the advantages that your location affords you, really. So that probably just about wraps up the activity over the last few months. The receive antennas have been fun to play with on transmit, and I've been doing quite a bit more modelling here been sharing some of the information with my good friend Steve, VK6VZ, who lives a few kilometres away. And incidentally, he will be using my old tower. He had some problems with his tower at his place. He, I think one of the tower sections broke when they were trying to winch the antenna down. And so consequently, that tower is not really all that useful at the moment, unless he can get it repaired. So I've offered him my old tower, which is perfectly okay. And he'll have pretty good use out of that, and probably slightly a little bit more height he can use as well. So at the moment, that tower is still sitting here, but I think over the next couple of weeks, we'll arrange to get that over to Steve's place and he can start making use of it. Anyway, that's about it for now. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. 73 is from Kevin, VK6 Lima Whiskey.